Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Cheers. Welcome.
Cheers.
Into yes. This edition of Road Trippin'. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson, and our guest today probably does not need any kind of introduction.
No, he'll introduce himself.
With that said, to our listeners who tune in for the comedic value or just the lighthearted vibes, our guest today is the CEO and founder of the Big Baller brand, which we're going to get into. He's also the founder of the JBA, Junior Basketball Association. But his probably most proud accomplishment is he is the father of the Ball brothers. You've got Lonzo, LiAngelo, and then, of course, LaMelo. We say hello and welcome to you, LeVar Ball.
Hey, how are you doing there?
Yeah.
How was that introduction? Would you prefer something different?
How was what infection or introduction?
Introduction. What
it sounded like you said infection, man. I was like, how's that infection?
She's from Ohio. She's from Ohio. Okay. There's going to be an accent good. Sometimes.
They don't talk too good sometimes now.
I mean, that's good. Intro, any kind of intro is good to me.
LeVar, you see how these guys do me? You see how they?
I see. But it's okay. They try to give you a hard time, but it's all right. You bounce back well. Look, you know your intro was on point.
Obviously, Richard cannot bounce back.
There we go. Well, no, the thing that I have – oh, there we go. Now I'm still learning how to do Zoom. This is terrible.
Oh, shit.
I couldn't attach it in. My bad. All right. Are we getting into it? Channing, you were about to say something. What were you about to say, Channing?
Yeah, here's my question, right? So I have four kids, right? And I think when all the – at the beginning when Lonzo was in UCLA and Big Baller Brand came out, my biggest question is, did you know you were going to have that kind of impact on the shoe industry, on having guys creating their own brands, just that type of culture? Like, whether you know it or not, a lot more guys aren't signing with the big name brands. They're starting their own. A lot of guys are signing with, you know, Chinese shoes, doing their own thing. Did you know you guys were going to have that kind of impact on the sneaker, shoe, kind of merch culture?
Of course. Elsewise, I would have never done it. Hey, I wouldn't have made my boys no superstars. I'll just let them go ahead and be regular kids. I would have, like I always thought of, like the NBA, NFL, it's 90%, you know, black and whatever playing. And we don't own nothing. So I always thought, as soon as my boys get here, we're going to come in this thing with our own brand. That's going to shake up the world. Nobody coming in here with their own brand. And they try to also say, that, you know, I just want the people to take a knock in the head just to wake up and say, know your self-worth. Because these brands have to go out and look for the next best guy to keep that brand going. But if you know you that guy they're looking for all the time, guess what? You ought to start thinking about ownership.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that funny? You go to college, right? You might go to college to learn how to start a business. You might go to college to learn how to grow a brand or to do marketing or to do research. But while you're there, if you are a student athlete, now mind you, there's scholarships, but you're not allowed to grow your brand typically when you're in college. You're not allowed to do any of that stuff. So it's like, wait, I'm in school to learn how to grow my brand, but while I'm here, I can't grow my brand. They're like, no, you need to make money for us and we're going to give you this. But my value is far more than this. Yes, but the rules that are in place say that you can only do that. And here we are today.
Exactly, and that's what they don't want to hear, see? They don't want you to get out there and let all these young kids that's going to school start understanding and hearing it like this. The mm-hmm. best way is, oh, no, come to education. We're going to give you all the education you need. Okay, but I want to go out in the world and do something on my own. You're not allowing me to do that. So basically, you're not going to have that experience. But right. you're yeah. going to promote, and everybody want to see this school.
Mm-hmm. It is funny when, like, because you get kids that get academic scholarships, that get full-ride academic scholarships. They might not get a stipend, or there's different variations, so I don't want people to misquote me. But you can have a kid that gets a full-ride scholarship in chemistry, and you will never hear of that kid, and that is not a disrespect. It is an important industry. But as far as the university being able to then reap benefits off of that full ride scholarship that they gave a chemistry student, they won't reap the same benefits if they give the full ride to an athlete. And that could be soccer, baseball, basketball, football. That's why they do it, the amount of money that they generate. So I don't want to hear that you're just getting an education. Lots of people get free education across this country because schools give free education. If you're a straight A student and you're the valedictorian, Here's a scholarship to come to, you know, Michigan State. But the chances of them seeing a return on that money are far less than the investment that they make in the athletes.
Most definitely. Like I said, here's a funny situation, which I always tell people. If you're recruited and you're an athlete, if you've been scoring 20-something points and 15 rebounds in high school, and you get to college and average 2 points and 2 rebounds, you got to go. But yeah. If you averaging 25 points and 11 rebounds and flunking out, they're going to get you a tutor.
Yeah.
That's how yeah. crazy that is. And they yeah. say you weren't supposed to be a student athlete. But if you ain't, you can get all A's in class and you ain't producing on that court, they're going to be like, well, we got to get another guy up in there. But you're getting all A's. You're a hell of a student. They're not letting that ride. But you can be a dumb student, but you're the star of that team. Oh, you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, that's how Channing stayed at Arizona for 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Listen, I wasn't the best, but I ended up one of the best. That's all right. Here's a question.
There you go.
Sorry, go ahead, Allie. I'll let you go. Ladies first.
Since we started with that idea, Channing, with the Big Baller brand, you guys just relaunched.
Yes.
Obviously, and I know you're very excited about that. What's different? What's unique from the first launch?
Well, like I said, the first launch, people still have hidden agendas. One of the things that I learned, which is a lot different, is don't have one person doing everything. Mm-hmm. So if now I got a lot of different people around me that stay in their lane and do different things for me, as far as one guy saying, okay, you do this, you do that. I'm not going to trust one person to do everything no more, and I'm going to be more hands-on. That's what's going on now. And like I said, people saying about the relaunch, it's not even a relaunch. It's just, I ain't never went nowhere. The Big Baller brand is going nowhere on the fact that it's a family brand. That's what people don't understand. They keep thinking, well, if his boys don't do it, it's not. No, it's a lot of folks out there that want to represent the Big Baller brand. And like I said, it's okay that folks be thinking, the only way Big Baller brand can stop, it's not if Lonzo don't attach or Jello don't attach. It's the only way it stops is if I stop. If the Big Baller shut it down, then it's done. The Lonzo shut it down.
But this is one thing that I will say. When the first go around with Lonzo, you were out in the public, and truth be told, you know, you have a lot of critics. I have been critical of you. Mm-hmm. Not in a full sense, but like, look, I stand by this. If you're ever critical of someone, be critical of them in a way that you can sit across from them man to man. And so I also applaud you in the way that you, UCLA, you made sure that the Lakers were going to draft them. That's like never been done in history before.
Well, and it's all like, the stuff I've done is history.
Yeah, exactly. So I got to give you that. But I would say this go around, I feel, not that you've gone away, but I feel like you haven't been as public. Forward.
You got to understand why. Understand this. Time goes on and life goes on. I got other stuff to do. I got more businesses to do. Okay, we're not in college no more, so you ain't gonna see me at no college games. Okay. Mm-hmm. Second thing is you got the pandemic going around, so you ain't gonna see it like that. another thing, I'm focusing on other things where the brand, Jell-O, maybe I'll hire somebody where I don't have to be there 24-7 with Melo. That's what people don't understand. You think JJ just pop up and all of a sudden say, I'm going to be with this guy? No, that's my guy. So I don't have to be there. He's had the same type of feeling that I have with my son, saying he's the best, and he's just like that and hands-on. So it's a good thing for Melo's best friend to be as old as he is as a mentor, but also as a best friend. So that's why people are, oh, I ain't seen you with Melo. You didn't go with Melo. I don't have to go with Melo. And first, you understand the first time, this is what people don't, they don't bag up and see these other intricates that I have in my family. As far as when I was out there doing my thing, okay, if I don't do that, you're not going to look at nothing. Now we already out there, so why I got to keep doing it?
I respect that. That's for me.
Everything, so yeah. You understand why people say, oh, I don't see him out there this much. Now I've got a lot of other things to do. And one of my main concerns now went from getting my boys to making sure they all in the NBA. I'm still on that kick, but something else fell into place where I got to worry about Tina even more now. Mm-hmm. When I first started, I got to worry about Tina. Tina with me, she good. But after the stroke and stuff, things are different now. So now you have to look at things in a different aspect. And like I said, people like to see you go up and they like to see you come down. Then they like to see if you're going to come up again. And this is all a part of the plan. And I'm going to explain it to you why. Would it make me seem like the baddest dude on 2 feet? It's just Jell-O came at a bad time. Because here, if you got the big baller brand being successful as it is, Lonzo and the shoes doing good, there's no way you can let my other son not be in school and be drafted. So they wasn't going to draft Jell-O no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's just that era. Because they said, oh, no more JBA. The big baller brand is not on site no more. So it looks like the big baller brand and I'm falling down to nothing. And then
people that know that there's another one.
Yeah, everything on crash down, there's no more nothing going on. Now we can let Melo ride up to the top. Yo, he ain't with his dad, Mr. Dad. Okay, now guess what? I told you he's gonna be number one. They don't want to hear that. Imagine me having all three of them. They really go crazy.
So obviously we're gonna get into Melo in a minute because but with Jell-O, what is the latest? Because his last Instagram post was about how he hasn't stopped hooping either.
Why would he stop hooping? Here's the thing. All my boys are cut from the same cloth. Like I told him before, Melo going number one,
Zoe
going number two, and like I said, if Jell-O wouldn't have stolen glasses, he would have been number three.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought it up. So one area in which I was critical of you, and this is not, and I think you're an amazing parent. I really do. Like, I don't care about all this other stuff. I think you're an amazing parent. You have raised three very respectful young men, and we've all made mistakes. Everyone here has made a mistake or done something stupid. So I'm not even sitting here saying that a kid did something stupid. But like, as a parent, what was your thought process about, hey, if for an individual, if my son does something, you know, you do the crime, you got to pay a time. If this is what they're going to say, you got to learn a fucking lesson and you got to like do this. You did not do that. You took him out.
My son did something that was, you know, not in his character. What am I to say? You do the time, you do this. Hey, all he was going to do is make a promotion on my boy because he had UCLA. The other two dudes, then you don't hear nothing about. Only one you want to care about is my son because he got more buzz than anybody. Here's a guy who is the most popular guy that wasn't even in it, that didn't even get drafted. But here's the thing. I wasn't going to tell him nothing. It's a mistake that he made. But he's not that good. So it's not a big deal. He already served enough by not playing and not doing that. So when you take him back to school and you take away his meal card and don't let him practice, and you ain't told me nothing, so guess what? When I take my boy, he ain't going to do nothing. And guess what? UCLA ain't been the same since they messed over Jell-O.
So really quickly, and now I'll let you hang in, Allie. So you're saying that you allowed him to serve the suspension, and then when he got back to school, there was more on the suspension that you did not know about, and that's why you pulled him out?
I pulled him out because they're not doing him right. We're there for one and done to play and do what we're supposed to do. But if you're gonna tell me some other things, you're talking about a suspension and all this, and then you don't know what you're thinking about, if you're gonna let him play, if you're gonna look at them other dudes, they ain't not surfacing to nothing. And they not gonna get in the league. Yeah, that's what UCLA done for them. So I don't have to wait and tell you, wait for them guys to be like, well, we're going to let you know how we feel and what we're going to do with your son.
As for, with two Arizona Wildcats, we are here for this UCLA slander. We are here. You want to slander UCLA?
Slander, this is just real deal. You ask me something, you want to say, this is how it is. It's like UCLA did what for them boys? Nothing. So I don't have to waste my time sitting there, and I don't have to tell nobody that I'm taking him out because I got a different plan. That's like fair. I said, my boy's going to the league, and it ain't going to be because you played at UCLA. And like I told him, once you finish with Jello, oh, they just hurting their head right now, saying, no, we could have had Melo and this and that. Yeah, I already told you what was going to happen. Treat one of my sons bad, and it's a wrap. They'll never be the same.
Cheers.
It worked out for Melo.
Worked out for all our family. Shoot. Worked out for Jello, too. That way allowed him to get surgery on his ankle, and guess what? He got bookends. You know what bookends are? That means you're going to be in the league if you got a brother over here and a brother over here. You either going to play with Lonzo or you're going to play with Melo. But you're going to play.
Oh, I mean, you're going to play today.
You don't get a chance. I thought
I would wonder about him just because I'm a middle child, too.
Who? So you wonder about Jello? Why?
Huh?
Why you wonder about Jello? About what? What about it?
I just want – because you hear a lot, obviously. I'm covering the NBA, so – I hear things about Zoe. I see what's going on with Zoe. And then you've got Melo up and coming, and you see the highlight videos and all the attention that he has gotten. And I wondered after Jello in that situation with UCLA, is he still wanting to hoop? Is he still wanting to be out there? So I love hearing that.
Here's the thing right here. If I raise three boys in the same house and they all cut from the same cloth, you think one of them going to be like, man, I don't feel like working out today. We just going to chill. Jello is a lottery pick. That boy, everything you say that the other two can't do, talking about the strength factor and the shooting, he does better than both of them. He always been a scorer. Like I said, given the opportunity, he's going to get his chance. When he get in there, he's going to shock a lot of people, and folks going to be like, everywhere he's gone, he's been a leading scorer.
Yeah.
Everywhere he's gone. And being a middle kid, guess what? I'm a middle kid, too. That's why Jello's so good.
That's why I said I'm good, too, because I'm a middle kid.
LeVar, do you remember this? I kid you not. So you are one of the few people in, I want to say, probably American history that have, I don't want to say shown up out of nowhere, but you really took the country by storm. You took the country by storm everywhere, all over the place. And so the first time I ever met you, I didn't even meet you. You just started talking. I'm sitting there. It was after a game. And I told one of my – I think I told Luke, Walton, this story. So I'm sitting there right in the corner, and you're sitting there, and one of your buddies was talking to you, and they were like, yeah, yo, I'm sorry that person came over to you, blah, 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 and said that to you. I didn't know if you knew him. And you look, and you just kept saying, blah, 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 don't you worry about it. I'm okay. Tell him, Richard. And I was like, wait, what? How am I involved in this? It was one of the funniest things. And right in that moment, I knew that there are people that put on things for TV and they have their character and their persona. And then there's some people that are just, that's who they are. Right. And you are who you are unapologetically.
Exactly. Why do you think Facebook won't leave me? All they gotta do is follow me. They said, man, follow that dude, whatever he do. That's it. If you look, anybody else got a show? No. And look how long it's on. You know why? Because I keep doing it. Was supposed to be this. Lonzo supposed to get drafted, and we supposed to say, oh, I got a son in the NBA. The other one, who cares? We live off his money and go about his thing. But when I keep doing all these things, you can't do nothing but follow me on the fact that when you create a brand and you get water, the ups and downs of all this, it's just – they can't, that's why they can't leave and say, you know what, we're done with this guy. You talk about any other parents and what's going on. Like I tell my boys, there's a lot of people who sign with agents every day. But the fact that my boys signed with Roc Nation, look how crazy that went. Three people? All of our boys signed with Roc Nation, it goes crazy. I mean, there's a lot of other superstars out there to sign, but they don't promote it like that. So it's a big thing, and I know, and that's why I tell my boys, this is just bigger than us now. This thing is going into a whole different level. And when these youngsters understand that, and like people like to tell me, LeVar, you created this change and this and that. I don't need people to tell me that. I already know. Because when something's not going the same way, you're going to create something that they have to do something about it. Whether they say you caused it or not, they can't just sit back and be like, okay, it's okay. This big ball of brand is not supposed to be here. And it's supposed to split up the family. It's done with everybody. When that money come into involved, they're supposed to say, hey, y'all go this way. Be your own man. Be this. Just because you're going against me don't mean you're your own man.
That's fair.
I appreciate that. Fair. As a dad, I definitely appreciate that. You know, yeah. I think I try to tell my son, like, he doesn't play basketball right now, but he plays hockey. Uh-huh. But I encourage that, right, because that's what he loves. And so for me, I think, you know, growing up, I've seen a lot of kids where they were only playing because their parents wanted them to play, you know, right. And they didn't really love it. They were good because they practiced, because their parents wanted them to practice. But, and I've told people this, I played with Lonzo just for that short time in LA, and I played on a lot in 14 years. I played on a bunch of teams. Now, I think Lonzo is one of the most naturally talented players I've ever seen, just his ability to do things. And then watching Melo and even watching Jello at times, and obviously I got to say, I didn't watch him as much, but watching Jello, and I have buddies that live in Australia that have said he completely changed the whole dynamic of Australian basketball.
Oh yeah.
Like, obviously Australia has more and more players in the league. Ben Simmons, Dele, Andrew Bogut, God, my man from
Patty Mills.
Patty Mills. So then all of a sudden now Joe you're Ingles. Putting – Yeah, Joe, good gracious. You're putting –
I'm just going to keep saying Exum. Names and interrupting. Dante Exum.
So you put – right? You
Brett put Brown is from – Brett Brown, he's a coach. He's from there also. My God.
He's not from England.
Or no, he's not from, no, I said from Australia. That's the wrong country.
Lamar's like, the only name you should remember out of Australia is –
Kyrie Irving.
Well, the only name you don't remember is Melo. Dude, you're the biggest, baddest one you ever went over there. You ain't talking about them other boys, Ferguson and the other ones that ain't did nothing where nobody said, wow. But it's like this right here. I create, you know, these monsters. What people don't understand is if I don't make my boys like that, man, you know what they always say that I love that all these scouts and all these people say? Oh, man, Melo and Zoe does things you can't teach. Who the hell you think taught them?
Get the hell out of here.
Yes,
stop that. Shut up. Stop that. First of all, look.
Let me tell you this.
This is the thing.
Let me tell you this so you know, because you don't understand this either, because you're still young, and this is how you went through the system. You ain't never had no father that said, you know what? Here's the AAU team. I'm going to create my own AAU team. So guess what? I'm going to have my boys play a certain way. They were playing, when they was in the third grade, we was playing middle school and beating their ass, scoring 80-something points. As third, but we throwing it, Melo leaking out, getting 20 points, catching over the shoulder layup. Jello shooting three-pointers from the top of his head, slanging them like that. But all we got to do is make 23-pointers, and we're going to score 60 points. Melo get the other 20 on layups. So we're going to beat you 80 to 50. So I'm beating these eighth-grade teams, tearing their ass up. Because I'm like this. The higher levels you go, the faster the game is. But if I practice playing fast as a youngster and keep going, when you get to high school, you know what they say? They're not going to do that. Oh, they're not going to do that unless you got a daddy go over there and bully the program and say, no, we're going to play this way. And then you go 35-0 playing that way. And then when you get to UCLA, guess what? Hand the keys over to Lonzo, let him play like that. Australia, hand the keys over to Melo, let him play like that. Go to Spire, press, trap, do the same thing. So my boy's been playing with this super fast speed, and this is what I'm telling you. If they ever all three get on the same team, it's a wrap. Because they're going to play so fast, you ain't going to be able to catch them.
I have a 3- and 5-year-old that you can have right now, and I will.
People have told me that, but
I know. No.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
They got less than
No.
Look, no matter how fast you think your kids are, his two boys are the fastest, strongest little kids I've ever seen in my life, and they are.
I tell everybody, I'm going full. I'm not even doing the Tiger Woods. I don't even say Tiger Woods, Dad. I say I'm doing the full LeVar Ball treatment. Yes, on y'all want to eat? Y'all want to eat? Give me 15 push-ups.
You did. You want to watch another episode?
This is not a lie, LeVar. This is not a lie. Oh, you guys want more? You guys want to watch another episode of Paw Patrol? I need to see two ball dribbling. But it's the truth. This is the thing. How about this? And I felt bad. This is a real story. So Lil Rich, he's got a little hoop in the garage. And he's like, Daddy, watch me dunk. And so he can barely dunk this because we keep raising on him. And I'm like, dude, that was kind of weak. And then he missed it a couple. And I'm like, look, if you don't dunk it, then you get no cartoons for a week. And he was like, Dad. And I was like, we'll go dunk it. And he dunked it. And I was like, buddy, I'm just kidding about that. But do you see how focused you got? Do you see how serious you got when there was something at risk, when there was something at stake? He didn't understand because he's five, but I put that seed in his ear. Because it was like, he was cool with missing dunks and watch this daddy missing dunks. And when I said, hey, if you got one more dunk and if you miss this, you get no television. He was like, his face was like, what? Why? Why would you say that? And I was like, man, because you got to understand that that's what's at risk out here. Yeah. People didn't understand. But you know, I told him I was kidding.
And like I said, parenting is all different. And just like, you know, like what I would tell you differently on that is if you got to – here's the thing. If you got to, like, convince him to do it by saying – I ain't going to say threatening, but saying, if you don't do this, you're not going to get this. Here's the thing. He got to have so much fun doing it that you just be so amped up. But I like the part that you said, I'm kidding you, and explaining it.
Explaining to him.
Here's the thing. I told my boys, you want to have fun with me, man, I'm going to be outside. So if you want to – you don't want to have fun with me, go in there and read a book. We had the world's cutest library. But your last name is Ball. We gonna ball. I'm gonna be outside. Your mama's B teacher. She can catch, run. We gonna be outside. So I always, you know, I got three boys, so they always can be competitive. I'll put one on a pull-up bar. He's 2 years old. Let's see who can hang the longest. He hang 30 seconds. Let me go, Dad. So I'm just having a good time with my boys, training them as a fun thing. Like every weekend, my wife, she loves basketball too. So we can stay in the gym 24/7 every weekend for 20 years. And never be like, well, I got to go spend some time with the girls. Now, I'm tired of this every day at tournaments and all this. Because here's the thing. You are not going to get no players like my boys. Ain't nobody going to Beverly Hills, Thousand Oaks, Chino Hills to find no killers. They in the hood. They come from a lower income area. That's where all your monsters and killers come from. Not from where you at. Where my boys is at, it got to be within them. That's why people say, LeVar, I love the way you push your boys. I say, I don't push my boys nowhere. I lead them. That means you can turn off anytime you want. Because I don't want to be like, well, if you ain't going to do this today, you're not going to get this. And, yeah, well, don't do it.
You hear that, Channing? Do you hear that, Channing?
Don't.
You hear that?
Do their own thing. Don't. It's like you can kind of, you can guide them, but you ain't got to be like, well, you're not going to get up this morning. Don't expect nothing special. Like I told my boys this, man. As long as I live, you can come to the house and I will take care of you till you 90 or until I fall dead. But now, when you come to the house and you ain't got to have no job or nothing, but you got to do what I tell you if you're going to stay at the house and you can't bring no dogs, you can't bring no woman, hey, but that's the price that you pay for me taking care of your ass and you don't need no job or nothing. You my boy. But if you want to do this, like I always tell them, you're going to bust your ass, whether it be in the beginning or the end. Now, all my friends, everybody was like, the boys was running hills and doing all this stuff, and their friends were like, how come they don't go to Disneyland? How come they don't do this? And now all their friends are looking at them driving all these exotic cars and millionaires before they're 20-something years old, like, oh, yeah, you should have worked hard, but guess what? Have fun at the new jobs and going through college and all that. Good job.
Yeah, but, dude, they're like, as much as you want to sit here and – you know, listen, as much as you want to sit here, LeVar – uh-huh. And I will give you all the credit in the world. There are some strong genetics that came through your boys. Like, they're tall, they're athletic, they're skilled. Like, you gotta give some credit to some genetics.
Yeah. I'm gonna give some credit to some genetics, but you can have the tallest, biggest sucker in the world. If you ain't got nobody guiding them, who cares? You're just big and a lot of big people walking around that can't do nothing. Man, you talking about
hear that, Channing? Channing, you gonna take that, Channing?
My wife.
Channing, are you gonna take that?
I had a lot of
Channing?
Shorties that looked good. Shoulders looked the best.
Let me go get my ring.
You gonna take that, Channing?
Should I go get my ring real quick?
Ring for what?
Tell him, LeVar.
Do we want to? No, I'm talking to Richard.
But here's the thing. You can say genetics all you want. There's a lot of big people that can't play a lick or nothing.
You're absolutely right.
If nobody puts no time into whatever you're doing, man, just like people keep saying, oh, LeVar, you're living off your boys, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be this. No, if it wasn't for me, somebody got to put the time in to teach these boys how to play. I done put 20 years of this stuff in here, and that's what people don't understand. They just didn't pop out, and all of a sudden, they superstar kids.
Okay, how about this? I view you as an individual that doesn't make mistakes. You're an individual that views everything as a learning lesson. I know you.
I learn off of it. I just do it.
Okay, so that being said, the next go around, all right, you know, Jello's up, gonna get drafted. You think he should go?
Mello.
Yeah, Mello's up. Excuse me, Mello's up. You're gonna be number one, okay. Number two, number three, number four. He's gonna be somewhere in there, right? I know what the answer is. Is there something that you would do different? Is there something that you would that you're gonna do different?
Nope.
What, no, but I'm talking about. Oh.
Hey, let me ask you this question. Why do you want to put Mello in New York?
Why I want to put Mello
in New York? Why do you think that's the best place? Why do you think that's the best place for him?
Well, I got to tell people like this, man. Let me tell you what the best place is. I know he liked the bright lights and all the way there's New York is. They haven't been good in I don't know how long, man. They ain't never went to no championships in the 70s. So I'm like, you know what? I don't need my boy to follow nobody. I didn't even create his own land. Right. Create something that's special over there. Now, the place really ain't got nothing to do with it. This is what I'm telling people. They have to have a new culture change over there to make this thing work. And what I'm telling them is, get Mello, you're going to get Jello, and you're going to see some chemistry, and then find a way to get Zoe. And then you got Triple B's, the ball boys on Broadway. And who not gonna follow that show? Who not gonna follow that show? And here's the thing. You know why I say they're gonna win? Because my boy, you have to make sacrifices to win. Why you think Jordan won all them championships? Because you know who made that sacrifice? Scottie Pippen. When you the second best player in the league and you getting that amount of money. Please. Yeah, that was a sacrifice right there. Now, the sacrifice that my boys will make that I would say is you can't guide them with money. So they don't have to, each one of them wouldn't hold the franchise hostage by saying, I need 50 mil, Mello need 50 mil, Jello need 50 mil. So now you got 150 mil a year tied up in three players. My boys would be like, okay, how about give us 30, 30, 30 and spend the other 60 on some good rebounders and good shot blockers and guys who want to come there and play. Because most of these franchises, you get tied up with the big two or the big three. So you need some extra help. So that's where the sacrifice would come in, where my boys would be like, we just want to win. And that used to be the terms back in the day why you win a lot, because the team stayed together. You can't stay together now because everybody say, you know what? Come on over here. We'll give you a little more money, give you your own team, and you can try to win like that. So that's why you got these people jumping on different teams, because it's not the same mindset back in the day when all the Bulls stayed together, back in the day when all the Lakers stayed together, all the Celtics. When you win those back-to-backs and all those championships like that, you got to stay together. It's just like Golden State was good. Until now, people going to start branching off because they're not sacrificing that money no more. They're like, I'm on the end of my career. I'm trying to get all mine. I'm good.
Would you rather him go three and to New York or number one in someplace else?
And here's the thing. I'm not even worried about the number one, number three. None of that stuff matters. This is the one thing that I hope goes on. It's a coach believes in him and let him does what he does. It doesn't matter where you go. As a coach, unless you do what you do, you're not going to be as successful as you think. And that was the thing. And everybody was like this. Well, he's not under the bright lights in New Orleans, and he has this and that. No. You're a professional. You're always going to be under the bright lights.
No, but first of all, he's put in the time. He's going to get better. This is the thing. Even guys like Tatum and Ingram, when you're bringing in guys at 18, 19, I'm tired of people – bringing in kids at 18 and 19 as top three picks. Wow. And forget, not from that standpoint, because the next point I was going to make is that they compare them to 10, 15, 20 years ago, where when you were the top three pick, you were coming in at 21, 20. You were far more just physically developed. And I know that the league was a lot older then, but it was just like you drafted Tim Duncan at 21 and he had been in college for 4 years. And the next thing you know, what happened? This guy can dominate the NBA. You draft a guy number two that's 19 years old. That's a completely different learning curve. So it's unrealistic expectations on your son and everybody.
It puts you in a different lane because, like, everybody likes to create these scenarios where you talk about, like you said, the Tim Duncan. Okay, you talk about Tim Duncan. Well, who's the first one to come to your mind? I tell you what, ain't going to be Tim Duncan when I'm talking about Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson ain't coming in. You know, 21-year-old.
That's what you told me is he did. He was in college for – was it in college for three years?
Was it 2 years? Was he in there for 2 years? Was it – no, I think it was two.
Hey, Siri, how long was Magic Johnson in college?
Just did.
Magic Johnson's college was Michigan State.
Ooh, shit. Oh, jeez, Channing, get your girl right. Oh. You, get your girl right. Get your girl right.
How long was Magic Johnson in there?
Man, it went to the Lakers. My shit don't work.
Oh. I'll tell you. Keep talking.
But I'm saying when you try to put different people, some people come in there ready for it and took a different road to get that. And I don't think it should just be an age. I mean, LeBron came in early, big body. Go ahead.
Yeah, but he didn't. But that's what I'm saying. Like even again, like he didn't dominate the league when he came in.
Game changes and you got more stuff. It's not even about dominate. You can dominate if you have
2 years.
If you, like I said. Hey, you can have a guy who dominates, who comes in there young, it's just something special. And you let that special one go. Just like people was trying to tell me when the Golden State was saying, oh, is it okay if Melo comes off the bench and learns and all this stuff? And I was like, nah. And people was telling me, well, Kawhi, he came off the bench. Giannis came off the bench. Okay. Michael Jordan didn't come off the bench.
I got no argument with you there.
Where I don't really – concentrate on the age and 18, 19. I think when you got more film and social media and more streaming, you can learn more quicker, faster. And the game is different now where it's 24/7 basketball now. This AAU lasts all year now, where it wasn't like that when we was probably, well, when I was coming up, you got different seasons. You play baseball, you play football, you're a talented athlete. You could do all this stuff. Well, now you just focus on one thing, on the fact that they have so many AAU and different things that last all year long. That's why I told my boys, when they went to Chino Hills, I was like, you can play football like me, but you're only going to get a scholarship in one. And they found out you can play against 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds when you're 9 and 10, but you can't play football against – you be 10 playing against somebody 14, you're going to get killed. That's a different thing. But see, now I put Melo in AAU. We play 17U. He was only 11 years old.
Oh, shit.
How would you best summarize Melo?
How would I best summarize him?
As a hooper, yeah.
Right now. Right now, I summarize him like this, man. Can you read my shirt?
We are the new breed.
There you go.
The new breed.
That's right.
The NU breed.
Yes. Hey, you can't spell new if you don't spell it a new way.
Oh, here we go. This shit you come up with, though, LeVar, is why I fuck with you. The silly shit that you come up with is why. And what I mean silly is it means silly as in funny, not as in not intelligent, not as in not clever. I like there's a level of respect that I have there. But it's like, I have the way I laugh when you laugh, like what the fuck is Channing doing right now?
I know.
What are you doing?
That other hat was too hot. My hair. I need so a haircut. Switch it. Get one tomorrow.
He's got LeVar. He's got multiple hats because he know we gonna talk shit about him or he gonna get roasted. So he's like, oh, that hat wasn't comfortable. Let me switch out. You see what I work with, LeVar? Do you see what I work with?
Let me live my life, dog. You can't put your expectations on me. Thank you. That's a big baller brand quote right there.
First of all, how about this? I got one more for you.
Hang on, Richard. Let him talk. Hang on.
Okay, you talk.
I'm going to be nice and calm for Richard. Maybe we can elaborate a little better.
Shut your ass up. No, listen, I got one more, LeVar. I got one more question.
I feel like you two are like long lost best friends. Like, y'all are hilarious.
Because we got one more. Because Richard used to talk crazy and he said, man, how does dude come like that? And how are you going to talk to me like this?
The reason why they're laughing is because I truly fuck with you, like truly, on a molecular level, whether it's the humor, the always on, like the way you have raised three amazing sons, like I truly fuck with you. Now, I also know that like some of your jokes and some of your shtick, it's just like, okay. But like at the end of the day, would I take you on my side or not? And that's what it is, right? And you know it comes down to that, LeVar. Like it's like, if you're playing with a player, at the end of the day, do you want him on your team or do you not? And I would take you on my team.
Right.
My question is this. You have three of the most skilled basketball sons. And I'm curious this, and I only say this because I don't watch a lot of media, so this is my chance to talk to you. Lonzo's shot has improved. He's moved it from one spot to another, right? And it, you can see it just starts to become a little bit more fluid in this. As an individual that played basketball, your wife played basketball, when you saw the mechanics, even though he was successful, when you saw that the mechanics were a little off and eventually they were probably going to have to be changed, why is it that you let it get to that point? I've just been always been curious because I'm
here, let me tell you about shooting. Let me show you how good I am.
Because I know we could do the whole Reggie Miller. We could do the whole
telling people how to shoot the ball. I got three boys going to the NBA, and not one of them shoot the same way. So who cares? Put the ball in the hole, son. And here's the thing. Lonzo started off on the right side. Now, he started off on the right side, and then somehow he started doing a step back, and it went to the left side, and he was knocking that step back down. So he's doing this on the left side. He's being productive. Jamal Wills whipped the shit around his head 12 times. My thing is this. Do you want a guy who has perfect form and missing every shot, or do you want a guy who shoots raggedy as hell but makes shots?
Okay.
So here's the thing. Boy, it don't matter. Hey, here's the thing what I always tell my boys. Perfect your shot. Your shot is the best shot however you perfect your shot. If you're doing it with the repetitions and that thing is successful going in, you leave it at that. But the people are talking about the mechanics and all this. Lonzo put it back on the other side, and now he's making some other shots. But at the same thing, at the same reason, if you have somebody believe in you and you shoot a certain way, man, and that ball going in, they're not going to say nothing. So that's
and that's was legitimately, it's not, because again, I'm not going to criticize a man that's going to have three sons in the NBA for saying his son's, his oldest son's elbow is too far out to the right. Like I'm not, that's creating criticism. That's not what I'm doing. It was more out of a level of respect for like your knowledge, your wife's knowledge, how skilled your sons are. And you're like, in my head, I was like, yo, that seems like something that could have been corrected fairly easily. But your logic is like, yo, son, if you're doing it confidently and you're putting in the time and effort, that's your shot. Shit, shoot your shot. Okay.
That's what I always told them. That's why my boys shoot all from a deep range, because they've been shooting half court since they've been babies. So that's why being allowed to shoot that same range when you get to high school. That coach said, man, I ain't never seen nobody shoot that far. Well, they just shoot from wherever. I've been teaching them like that. Here's the thing. I'd rather you shoot from 35 feet with nobody in your face and you've been practicing that shot as far as shooting a 20-footer with a hand in your face and you got to jump over to do. Because they don't think you're going to keep shooting that 35-footer. And it's the thing about shooting. I always tell the guys, they're talking, what is shooting percentage, LeVar?
Kenny,
That's why
I'm listening. I
dig it.
It's when you make the shot. Like I told a guy before, man, on the interview, I said, man, you want a guy who shoots 6 out of 7 every game and they lose? Or you want a guy who shoots 1 out of 10 and he keep making the game winner? The dudes are looking at me crazy. Oh, percentage, LeVar, I know, because you want 1 for 10? Hey, everybody going to stand up when Melo shoots this shot because they had the worst record in Australia and y'all still looking at him to shoot and do what he do.
Lavar, how is Zo doing? I feel like we hear a lot from the players down in the bubble, but we haven't heard from a father of a player.
Oh, man, Zo's doing great. Zo loves a game of basketball, man. He just wants to play. That's his thing. But like I told folks before, you ain't never seen my boy in revenge mode, and you ain't never seen him in playoff mode. I've seen him in both.
You think the Pelicans will get in?
Huh?
You think the Pelicans are going to get in?
Hell no. I know they're going to get in.
Oh, geez.
I know they're going to get in. What you talking about? Are they going to get in? Stop.
Yo. What's the bet? What's the bet?
You know
what's
Zion is
no,
out.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to make a bet.
I'm about to make a bet. That don't mean nothing.
What we got? Is it 100? 100? 500? What's the bet?
Who's betting first?
Me.
Portland.
Me
I'm
and
taking
you.
It for sure.
I'm taking the field.
Ooh. No. You can't take the field. I'll take the team. I'll take Portland Trailblazers.
You know what makes me really nervous about LeVar is he actually has me legit feeling convinced that the damn Pelicans are going to get in.
Yeah,
Zion
that's
is
what
not
he
even
does,
playing
Allie,
the first 2 weeks.
You want me to give you a scenario? You want me to give you a scenario?
Give me a scenario.
I'm finna tell you what's about to happen. And when it do, I'll come back on here and then you can ask me, am I a psychic or a sidekick? Here's the thing. Remember back in the day when Golden State beat, who was that they beat? They beat
Dallas.
They beat Dallas. That's how the basketball world is. It goes back in a full circle. I already told people this was going to happen. The Pelicans are going to get in, and they're going to have to play against the Lakers, the 1 versus the 8. And then my son is not going to let the Lakers win, and then I'm going to tell you that's why I told y'all don't trade him. You'll never get in. That's going to be the scenario.
You're out of your damn mind.
Here's the thing. If they don't
you're
win,
out of your...
what?
You're out of your damn mind.
When it happens, when the one versus the eight, I'll be there. I'm gonna tell you, it's going down. The Lakers are not gonna win. They're not gonna win. If Lonzo don't win nothing, he ain't gonna let them win. I guarantee that.
You out of your damn mind.
I'm not gonna lie.
So
basically, Channing, he know this is true because they say I've been out of my damn mind for so long. So you know this is going down.
Okay. So what? Because no. Because I was told if two men have a disagreement, the next word should be bet. So we gotta disagree.
That's because you from
Arizona. Richard,
if two men have a disagreement in mind, the next word ain't a word. It's a bust in the lip.
Oh, is that what you taught your boys out in Chino Hills? Is that what you taught your boys out there?
I taught them if somebody put their hands on you, you slap the hell out of them.
Okay, agreed. So I'm asking you, what is the bet?
In Chino Hills. Why? Because you know why? In Chino Hills, they don't get aggressive like that. They say, yeah, go ahead. You go ahead and do your thing. It's okay. South Central, put them up.
We got, okay, LeVar, I got a $100 bet that says the Pelicans don't make it. They don't make it.
No.
Shut up, Channing. How about you shut up? $100. A little side bet. We ain't even gotta promote it. We ain't gotta talk about it. When I see you, I'm gonna want my money.
Oh, hey, when you see me, I'm gonna give you two Big Ball brand shirts and a hat and $100 on top.
Okay, that's fine. I'll wear them proudly. Wear them proudly as I'm eating my $60 steak.
$60. I want you to have $100. Get the whole one.
Okay, well then we're gonna need to up the bet.
Get your whole steak.
Listen, you go to restaurants, you should be quarantined, motherfucker.
Man.
You better Postmates that shit.
Shoot, unless you're the Big Baller, tell them, hey, here we come.
Oh, LeVar, you are.
Dude, funny, I love this guy, man.
But all kidding aside.
We can do that, man. Yeah, that's fine. Man, I'm telling you, they're going to do it, man. That's not hard.
And I respect that. The
it's
only
very
thing
easy
that's going
to beat the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers are not hard to beat. They have two players. They have two players that you double team every time. They get tired in a series, it's over. And you're not playing against no young lasers running every time. You got to play some defense, too. And here's what Alonzo is not going to do. Usually teams get in the front and they take their foot off the brake. I mean, off the gas pedal. Say, yo, let's play conservative. We got another 10 to 15 more possessions. Where my boys say, no, we're going to keep pushing this bad boy. Every time I can get a lob, I'm going to throw it again. Even though we up 20 and 30, I'm throwing it from half court. Just keep running until the game is over. Let them chase us. Don't play, and everybody's like, oh, in the next, in the series, it slows down. Nah, it slows down if your point guard slow down. But if your point guard keep pushing it and everybody on that team understand, keep running, somebody going to get tired in that series.
I will say,
really,
all
that's
three
funny
meetings.
Because Channing played with Steve Nash and I played with Jason Kidd, so but we don't know what you're talking about. I get it.
Right.
And I played for Alvin. But I know he's in the right system. Alvin is exactly the right guy for him to just
it
be
made
like,
Channing money, so you know it's a good system if it made Channing money.
So it's very easy to beat them. It's that the people don't look at them parts like that. I'm like, whoa. Okay.
It eases a bit of a stretch.
Let me tell you this. How are you going to put, I guarantee you, you can't put one sucker on LeBron. Don't fool yourself. You better double team him every time. You can't put Holiday on him.
He's going to
kill you one-on-one. That's why you have 40. You playing a one-on-one. He'll murder you. He ain't never scored 40 against me. I'll double team him with some sorry people on the bench. Just like, hey, I don't even care. Y'all ain't got to worry about it. Double team every time you get the ball. Well, I'm going to leave my man open. Who cares? Your man be wide open under the basket. Go double team like I told you. He's going to be so tired. He's going to be like, I don't want to play no more. It's very easy. Double team people.
Dude, it's so funny.
Gosh, you're pure comedy. LeVar, I do understand what you're saying when you're saying that they're easy to beat. A lot of teams are easy to beat. You can beat any team. The key is beating them in a series, beating them 4 out of 7. That's where the difficulty lies.
Let me tell you this, where this lies.
Please tell me
it's
something.
It's in the coaching. If you know how you got a certain way you play, I'll beat you 4 out of 7 without no coaching. I'll tear your ass up. Coaching is not that hard.
Coaching
is not that hard. I don't know what y'all doing. You know what I told a guy one time, man?
He said, tell me what you told a guy one time.
He said, coaching is everything, man. I said, I'll tell you what. you coach these raggedy suckers that can't play, and I'll take these athletes, and I won't coach them a lick, and just tell them to run, and they will beat the hell out of you because your plays don't work if you ain't got no athletes to know how to do that stuff.
Ain't that the truth?
So stop talking about coaching and all that. The game is simple. Pick and roll, find a mismatch, and exploit it. Until you learn how to double team the best player and understand what your rotations are and take your percentages of somebody who's not playing that good, who normally scores 8 points a game, let them score 20 for the game. And the guy who scores 20 or 40, let him score 15 or 16. And you'll be fine.
In my opinion, their toughest challenge wouldn't be in the finals. It would be getting to the finals.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think the Clippers are a bad matchup. I think a healthy Rockets.
Hey,
and by bad matchup, you mean that they can beat them.
The Pelicans is a bad match. Look how big they are. I'm just saying.
And the Pelicans about to get smoked in five.
Smoked by who?
If they make it to the eight, by the Lakers.
Well, hey, here's the thing. You know the Lakers going to make it because you even said they're going to get smoked. So you changging your tune already. I like that.
I said they would.
Good job.
I said they would.
You finally would. Let them you said you're going to get smoked in five. Well,
I said they would. They would get smoked if they make it.
I don't know who's going to do the smoking unless you're going to be on the sideline with a pipe in your hand.
LeVar, this is a real question. Is it easy for you to watch NBA games? Just given on like what you know and how you kind of look at things, is it hard for you to watch NBA games?
Oh, no. It's very easy for me. I can sit in the house and criticize how raggedy everything is.
Yeah, oh, geez.
My boys are playing. Then I'll be like, man,
here we go. No, see, LeVar, this is –
I just wonder.
This is where I know a shtick.
What?
This is when I know that you're just poking the bear. You don't believe that. You don't believe that, LeVar. You don't believe that.
I'm gonna tell you what. You know what I believe? That you're nervous and you biting your fingernails already. Stop it. We on the
This is purely out of boredom. This is purely out of boredom.
I'm trying to let you know what's going on.
This is purely out of boredom.
Hey.
Richard, we're dealing with a virus. You need to get your hands out of your mouth.
No, well, this is the thing. He's saying that anybody that knows I don't get nervous.
I ain't poking no bear. My daddy told me leave them big black bears alone. That's why they're in the forest by themselves.
Is there anything? Have you ever been left speechless ever?
Have I ever been left speechless?
Yeah.
Well, that's why the Lord gave me a tongue so I can talk. I've never been speechless.
Oh, jeez.
You're incredible.
Oh, jeez. This has been the best, man.
Yeah, this is awesome. This has been so much fun.
No. See, this is what you're doing. You're feeding into them. You see how big a smile.
Well, you know why I smile? Because I'm in a good mood when I'm talking to people and I'm doing what I do and I feel good about what's going on a beautiful day. So I'm going to smile. I ain't going to sit here and be like this. That's how your other people is. I have a good time. I'm good.
Let me
see this. We all must be doing real good when you can sit down in the middle of the day and talk on a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Some people ain't got no jobs. You know, you can't just be sitting down. You ain't got no job. You ain't got no money coming in. But when you got your own brand and you're doing your own thing, I'm all the time. That pandemic ain't stopped me from selling nothing online. I ain't got to open up a store.
Oh, geez.
That's what happens when you have ownership. See?
LeVar, ownership is a killer. LeVar, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I know it's hard to filter through all of the other, like, over-the-top stuff this man likes to say, but when he talks about having ownership in yourself and what you're doing, that is a true, true statement. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete trying to have ownership of your brand, if that's a musician trying to have ownership of your masters. As an individual, continue doing all of that ownership that you can get. Same here. We own all of road tripping. So.
Yes, there you go. See, that's a huge thing.
Yeah, that's why we were like truth be told, like that's why we brought back everything. We are not necessarily working with anybody under an umbrella. We're just doing the thing on our own.
I swear, you got it.
Go ahead, Alex. Speak
on. I was just going to say, I swear that I just looked at the stopwatch. I'm not even kidding. What felt like 10 minutes ago, and we were at 30 minutes, and we were already at an hour, which tells you just how great and wonderful this episode, this podcast has been. So, LeVar, again, I think we've told you. What's that?
Here's the thing. Anytime I interview with somebody, it's supposed to last 10 or 15 minutes, and it always lasts an hour. And it goes by asking them what you think. Because two things happen. Some of the stuff I say is interesting, and we just flowing as such a natural feed that it's going back and forth like that. A good time goes by good.
That's exactly what I think just happened.
This has been one of the most miserable 60 minutes of my entire life.
So can we put it on the record?
Go ahead, Allie.
Two things. BigBallerBrandInc.com is your newest website.
Yes.
It's not a relaunch. It is just back bigger and better than ever. I have checked it out. It's awesome. You guys have anything from apparel to footwear to accessories. It's all out there. It's awesome. So shout out to you. And you guys do have a bet. If the Pelicans make the playoffs, there is a bet.
I owe him $100. Ladies and gentlemen, as much as I give LeVar a lot of shit, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him as a father, as a husband, as an individual, because he has a mindset and he has talked about ownership. And that is something that we talk about every single day, whether it's black businesses or owning your own brand or supporting causes. This is an individual that believed in his sons, that believed in starting on brand. And I refuse to sit up here and look at mistakes that people have made or things that I felt like they could have done better. And I'm not talking about me personally, just in general as human beings. Mm-hmm. I would rather applaud this man for everything that he has done and what he has accomplished and the type of kids that he has raised. So all of that, I have a tremendous amount of respect for you and the fact that I can give you shit and talk some shit back to you and you got no problems. That's all I need.
No problem, baby. We all good. Yeah.
We appreciate you. You are a little tricky, though. I will say that. Well done. That's another mention over a trip. Thanks, Lamar.
All right, y'all take care.
Man, we appreciate you, man.
All right, man.
Thank you, man.